Today's English message is taken from Isaiah 49, 1 through 7. If you could turn in your pew Bibles or your own Bible, but it's page 548. That's Isaiah 49, 1 through 7. Listen to me, you islands. Hear this, you distant nations. Before I was born, the Lord called me. From my birth, he has made mention of my name. He made my mouth like a sharpened sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me into a polished arrow, and he concealed me in his quiver. He said to me, "You are my servant, Israel, in whom I will display my splendor." But I said, "I've labored for no purpose. I've spent my strength in vain and for nothing. Yet what is due me is in the Lord's hand, and my reward is with my God." And now the Lord says, "He who formed me in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him and gather Israel to himself, for I'm honored in the eyes of the Lord, and my God has been my strength. He says, 'It is too small a thing for you to be my servant to restore the tribe of Jacob and bring back to those of Israel I have kept. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth.' This is what the Lord says, 'The Redeemer and Holy One of Israel, to him who was despised and abhorred by the nation, to the servant of rulers, kings will see you and rise up, princes will see and bow down, because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you.'" Here ends the reading of God's word.
Once we begin to talk, just at an infant stage, once we begin to talk, we begin to ask questions. When we're younger, they're playful and innocent. And we'll keep this PG. "Daddy, can I have another butt cheek? Can I have another kiss?" And you know, that's so innocent. "Yes, now go to sleep." And as soon as you go out the door, "But Daddy, can I have another butt cheek? Can I have another hug?" "Yes, go to sleep." "Daddy, why can't I touch that?" "Because it hurts." "Daddy, when can I have my own car?" "When you're 35. Daddy, you've come up with your own set of questions that you've had. As we get older, not just to our parents, but we ourselves, we begin to ask questions in our head and try to understand things. Now we can press Siri and ask her to explain or send us to a link the laws of thermodynamics. Some of us are constantly inquisitive, wanting to know how things were made. So we break it apart and we put them back together so that we can learn from that. Some of us, some of the great meals we have made for our spouses because we ask the question, "How can I make an amazing meal for my husband or wife?" And that question came from, and that was answered from a YouTube video. We live it daily, weekly, with the questions of who, what, when, where, why, and how. How am I going to afford this? When will the children know better not to act, be, or say those things? Why are my parents so consumed with their electronics and not see me? What will I be when I grow up? Where do I fit in? Why don't they like me? Why am I doing what I'm doing? Why am I here? What's my purpose? Where was God when this and this happened in my life? Who is this Jesus that they keep talking about from the pulpit? All along in life, we strive to answer these sometimes very deep questions. And as we navigate to find the answer to these questions, we're eventually led down certain paths. We make career choices based on what to study in college. We hang out with the people we do because we experience the answer to the question of, do they like me? I would hope as we begin to ask the question of, why am I here? What's my purpose? These questions lead you to the struggle, to the wrestling, to the analysis, to the dealing of coming to a conclusion that you're not random. That you are intentionally made by someone named God. And that there's a particular reason you exist, and this person who is the architect behind it is God, and that you're not random. I would also hope that you did your serious search on finding out, as you asked the question, Jesus is described, and you've come to the conclusion, in favor or not, okay? You may have come to the conclusion, in favor or not, that he is the Son of God who died for our sin. He is the only way to heaven, is the embodiment of the only truth that we absolutely believe in, and offers us life, eternity. So, why would I then want to be a servant for this Jesus? Why would I want to be align myself to this Jesus? Why would I want to even come and be part of certain ministries? We ask you to consider to serve in this ministry, to volunteer as a Sunday school teacher. We ask you to lead this Bible study, to be a deacon, to be an elder, to have this office of role. Why would you want to do this? You don't do it because we ask you to do it. You do it because you know what this Jesus means. You've struggled, you've asked the questions, you've got this relationship with him, and you believe wholeheartedly that this Jesus has captured your heart, and you want to do it because of him. Why would you want to be a servant for Jesus? Why would Isaiah want to be a servant for God? Because the Lord's plan, why would I want to be a servant? And we're going to ask this question, and we're going to ask a little bit of how to be a servant. Because the Lord's plan for salvation, from the beginning of this book all the way to the end of this book, the Lord's plan is to get those who don't know him to know him. That's the plan. That's the plan. And if that's the purpose, that's the plan of the whole thing, then he wants you to be a part of that. Isn't that pretty cool? You don't just get to know him, but you actually get to be a part of this plan that has started from before time. It has started from before time. You've been included. If you want to look at a timeline, let's say the timeline started, you always got to do it the way you're looking, right? So let's say the timeline started here. Let's say it started here. And this plan is going to go all the way. I don't know when it's going to end. Maybe it's going to end all the way at Tulare. That's when the end times are going to come. Right? Maybe, and right here, right now, is August 27th, 2017. God said from before time, the plan was, this is the plan, salvation is to come for those who don't know Jesus. And you get to be a part of it. Why would I want to be a part of it? Why would I want to be a part? I want to get to know him. I want eternal life. I want to be living freely from all the sin. But why would I want to be part of it? And if I want to be part of it, then how do I get to be a part of it? So we're going to ask this question, and because of that, I'm going to give you three A's. You get an A for attending, but you get to get three A's today to help us remember why would I want to be a servant of Jesus, and a little bit of how. So first one is, check the attitude. We sometimes serve because of the reward, right? You know, if our spouse asks you to do something, or if you're a child and your parent says, you know, go do this. If you clean up your room, anyway, I did this yesterday, and guilty, yes, don't look at me bad way this way. But yesterday, we bribed Emmy, stand and smile for the picture, right? Why? Because the reward at the end was you get to, actually Arminé bribed her, but you get to, so there we go. So you get to have these fruit snacks, or you get to have a cookie. And sometimes we serve because there is a reward. But look at this. This is what's amazing about this passage. There's something special about verse 1. From birth, he has made mention of my name. From the very beginning, Isaiah was in God's mind. Isaiah was in God's mind. Also in verse 5, he who formed me in the womb. This not only applies to Isaiah, but we know this from scripture elsewhere, that God has his plans laid out before creation. Okay, maybe that doesn't wow you. Here's what's even crazier. Regardless of my inadequacies, regardless of my sin, regardless of my shortcomings, regardless of whatever you think I've got wrong, and I know I've got wrong, God actually says, I want him to be part of this plan. Think about this privilege. We don't ever think about that as a reward. God actually says, I want you to be part of this. I want you to be part of sending out to the, going out to the people and sharing this. He wants you to use you and wants me to be part of the salvation message to go beyond the borders of Israel, go out to the Gentiles. And it's absolutely out of this world. But how come I get a sense that it doesn't feel like that for us? It says like a little bit of burden, right? One of the reasons why I picked this passage is the word splendor. I don't know if you've ever thought about the word splendor. Splendor, majesty, greatness, amazingness. God is going to display his greatness, not only through the people of Israel, but get this, through you. He's going to display his greatness through your work world. He's going to display your greatness as a mother and father to your children. He's going to display his greatness through your work scenarios on the fields of whatever you're doing, whatever you're harvesting. He's going to display your greatness as you interact with students. He's going to display his greatness as you deal with patients. He's going to display his greatness, his splendor, his amazingness, his love as you serve in whatever capacity you serve. But here's the catch. Check the attitude. Because a lot of the times, we do it for what reason? We have two postures. Posture number one is, and actually Isaiah echoes it for a little bit. He says, God, I have labored to no purpose. I have spent my strength in vain and for nothing. There are many days that I feel this way. There are many days I feel this way. I have spent my labor. I have done everything that's possible. There's so much I've done, and it's nothing, Lord. And posture number one can get a hold of us so easily. Lord, I give up. This is it. I'm done. I think it's for nothing. So posture number one, because I haven't seen the process, there's nothing in it, it's all in vain, I'm out. Right? That could be posture number one of the servant. That could be, Lord, I'm not seeing anything happen. I've been working at it. I've been trying to deal with this relationship. I've been trying to deal with this obstinate child. I've been trying to deal with this coworker. I've been trying to, you know what? I'm out, God. I don't think it's going to happen. There's no way. Posture number one. Or posture number two. And actually, you know what? Before we go to posture number two, God actually allows us to complain to him. You see it. Isaiah writes it. Verse 4. I have labored to no purpose. I have spent my strength in vain and for nothing. Yet, what is due me is in the Lord's hand, and my reward is with God. You see, a lot of the times we forget about that second part in posture number one. A lot of the times we think, you know what, God has forgotten about me in all the troubles I've got going on with that annoying coworker, with that annoying child, or with that annoying, you know, whatever situation that's going on. God, you know, I'm out, I'm done. There's no purpose. There's nothing coming about from this relationship that I got with this person. Why have you put me into this context? There's nothing going on here. Keep at it. Check the attitude, because the reward is in God's hand and is with him. And then posture number two. Posture number two is, my attitude is going to be, because there is reward, my attitude is going to be, I will submit. I will sacrifice. I will commit to your ways to be my ways. I will swallow my pride, God, so you be glorified. I will take the hits so that others can be safe, God. I will always ask and think what's best for my community and what's not best for me. Did you follow the patterns for those questions? None of it was me focused. None of it was me, I'm out. But was for the sake of his community. I will commit to this kind of posture because I know none of it is in vain and that the reward is in God's hand. And later on, Isaiah actually says, I'm honored. I'm honored to be a servant of God. Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought about that? That I'm honored to be a servant, even if it is in the simplest task of cleaning up the papers in the sanctuary after church. Posture number one is, hey, we pay someone to do it. Posture number two is, I will sacrifice. It's not beneath me. I can do a simple thing like that. And I'm not, this isn't to feel like, listen to me, okay? This isn't, I'm like coming down with a, no, you know, this isn't, I don't want to see 50 people trying to clean up the sanctuary after church. But I'm just giving you a practical example of what the posture can look like. Because look at this, folks. And I've missed this so many times. His splendor is displayed in the simplest task of picking up those papers. His splendor is displayed of the simplest task of taking the hits for someone. His splendor is displayed through you when you go deal with the person who keeps spitting at you in your face. His splendor is displayed as you deal with the obstinate child. His splendor is displayed as you continually love and pray for the Turkish brothers. His splendor is displayed in dot, dot, dot. You know your context. You know your difficulties. You know your situation. His splendor is displayed as you leave this place and you try to mimic that servant. So check the attitude, because a lot of the times we work for the reward and we forget that it's not here, that it's in God's hand, and in his timing he'll give it to you. I hope you're following with me, because I know it feels like it may not be. So number two, second A, check the attitude. Second A is God's use of our abilities. We serve because God's given us some abilities. And no, you're not going to turn into a green monster, but God's given us some abilities. You are described as a useful tool that is ready to be deployed. You have been called you're a concealed arrow in his quiver. At an appointed time, he's going to grab you from his quiver, and he's ready to launch you. Sometimes, he pulls back, and he's like, well, Mugo, not yet, not yet. I'm not going to send you out to do that yet. And I'm like, no, I'm going to do it. No, not yet. But he's describing us as a sharpened arrow, concealed, and he is going to use it according to when he wants. You see, a lot of the times, we go in with saying, yeah, I can do that. You know what? You know what? Him, he can't do that. I can do that better. And we kind of go in thinking, I can serve better than so-and-so. But God's got it perfectly timed, connecting to our first A. What's our posture? What's our attitude like with other members of the community? Or is it God, I can't believe you're using this person in the ministry? Or God, you know what? That's awesome that you're using this person in the ministry. And I will be ready whenever you're going to send me out. I thought this would have gone totally different today. I was thinking about the marathon as we were getting ready to get up here. And I'm thinking 26.2 miles. That's a lot of running. 4.5 hours. That is a lot of running, Bud Vlieg, right? Good for you. A lot of training, a lot of things. And I was thinking about that, and a marathon, if you look at it in terms of life, we are running a marathon. However many years we are, wherever we are in the timeline, some of us are 37, some of us are 73, some of us are 83. And we're running. And at some points, we've hit walls. We've hit it at 46, 85, 42, 38, whatever it is. God's use of our abilities, sometimes we kind of just jump the gun and think it's a sprint. It's like, hey, you know what? I'm going to go when I want to go. God, I'm going to run this next mile of year in a sprint mode because you haven't been listening to me and you haven't come through for me. And I'm just going to do it. Where's my attitude with that? Check the attitude. God's going to use our ability when he thinks he's going to use our ability. But the problem with that is we're not in tune with him sometimes. And that is a lifelong process. I was talking to a friend of mine about this passage, and he said, sometimes I'm looking at this passage and I was like, is this supposed to be task-oriented? Like, you know, because of my ability, therefore I wait, and it's just this task. I did this task. I got this done. I served a year for this. I did this. No, it's a lifelong process. Serving God is a lifelong process. Third A, my attention is on this. First A is check your ability. Second one, my attention is on this. God's purpose in the book, in this book, is salvation. God's purpose through Isaiah, using him as a mouthpiece, is salvation. In verses 5 to 6, he says, I'm going to use you to bring back, to restore, essentially to call people back, to lead people into repentance. Now, what does this mean? My attention is to be on this. My focus, my purpose is to be on this. I'm not asking you to grab a piece of cardboard and to go stand on the corner and say, repent, repent, the kingdom is near, repent. That's not our goal. Maybe it is. Maybe God's really saying in your heart, I need to do that with some relationships I have. I'm not saying that. But God has given us a purpose, and the purpose is this, to bring people back to Jesus. It's here. It's laid out. You've been given an ability. We need to walk through and navigate how to do that. Can person X see and experience Jesus through you? In your relationship at work, can person, whoever it is, can they see Jesus through you in your interactions, in your conversations? At school, can people see Jesus through you? At the home, can people see Jesus through you? My attention, my focus, my purpose, when I get up at 12 o'clock from 12 a.m. to 11:59 p.m., our purpose is so that people can come to know Jesus. Whoa! Seriously? It's not to be a doctor, a farmer, a mother, a student, a this. No, our purpose in life is so that people can come to know Jesus and the salvation that he offers. I love this. At family camp, I love that answer too. That answer was perfect for the children's message. But I love this at family camp. If you were an attendee, you knew what happened here. When you went to your rooms, you got a welcome basket. And in this welcome basket, there were two Bibles, two pads of paper, or if you're a family or a couple, you got two pads of paper, you got two pens, and some water bottles. Look at the focus, look at the attention, look at the purpose of this person's creativity. They thought this person had planned this basket to the T. And it said, you know, the person thought, people are going to come to family camp. They're going to essentially bring their Bibles. They're probably going to bring their phones that have a Bible on it. But this person gave them Bibles. And I even asked the question, I'm like, why are we giving them Bibles? And look at the purpose, look at the attention, look at the creativity that this person had. He said, I'm going to give them Bibles so that when they go home, they can use the tool, look at the attention focus, to talk to another family member around them, a neighbor or whatever, and to go and to say, okay, hi, hamparzum? Ich beses, laves aperjan, laven tun ich beses. Hi, hampart, or whatever, Shirley, that's next door neighbor to you. You go with your Bibles and you go to your neighbors and you go, well, look, hey, I just went to this amazing family camp, and hopefully maybe you can come join us for church sometime. But, you know, they gifted us these Bibles, and we already have some, but I thought, what a great thing for you to have them. Boom! Entry point right into a conversation of what? God's already released you into a point that you get to serve him. Am I losing my mind, or is this pretty clear? Right? Isn't that a, look at the focus, look at the attention, look at the purpose, look at the usefulness, and look, what's the reward? The reward is, yeah, that person's being a good job for their efforts, but the reward is in heaven in God's hand. That's all of it. Three A's. That person gets three A's for that. Isn't that amazing? See, our attention, the moment we're awake, wherever you work, whatever stage you are in a family, our attention as a church is to help people come to the cross. Your profession may be a doctor, maybe a farmer, maybe a teacher, maybe a full-time mom, maybe a full-time retired person, but it's for the people to be brought back to Jesus. That's why we exist. That's why we're here. And if it's not that, then I'd be the first one to resign. The profession, the roles are the means to serve and accomplish the purpose of helping people see Jesus. You know what Jesus means to you. You have an opportunity on from August 27 till you pass away for people to see Jesus through you. Do people witness the posture of, I'm better than this, or do they see humility? I'm honored to serve. I was never good at U.S. history, but I recently have, in the last 6 years, as I've gotten to know Alex Talvian more, I've come to appreciate more political shows and stuff like West Wing and 24 and this recent one of Madam Secretary. And if you see the show Madam Secretary, on a scale of, you know, 1 to 10, 10 being the cleanest, one of the cleanest shows, 10 is, you know, she's at 10, Madam Secretary. Anyway, that's not a pitch for the show, but I've gotten a kick out of these presidential, these political shows, because they always have this line that they, you know, when they're interacting with the president, and if it is the president tasks them with something that they don't want to do, they're kind of, you can see it in their tone, in their face, I serve at the pleasure of the president. And then they just walk out, right? Because they're irritated that the president has tasked them to do this annoying thing. I serve at the pleasure of the president. But then if there is the task or the suggestion by the Madam Secretary or whatever it is in West Wing or whatever, they come and they're accepted and they're happy and they're honored by it. I serve at the pleasure of the president of the United States of America. There's a difference in the posture. And so I thought, as I was thinking about this passage, I would love for you to remember this. I would love for you to check the attitude. I would love for you to remember God's given you an ability. I would love for you to continually have my attention, my focus, my purpose is on this. But above all, I serve at the pleasure of Jesus Christ our Lord. To walk in every situation, every morning, every day I have, any interaction I have, to think I serve at the pleasure of Jesus Christ our Lord. So, question number one in the A, what's my attitude like when I'm serving God? When I serve, do people see Jesus? I'm going to be honest. I've been going, they're seeing Mugo and not seeing Jesus. I serve at the pleasure of Jesus Christ our Lord. I was talking, this is the last story. I was talking with someone about their profession this past week. And this person, just for the privacy of that person's role, this person began describing some of the things they were doing. And I was just completely like wide-eyed, shocked. And this person was looking at me like, what's wrong with you? And I'm going, you're not supposed to be doing those things. They weren't asked to, but I was so in awe of their humility that it reminded me of something about being a servant. You see, they were going about doing things that other people were supposed to be doing, but this person had no expectation with it. Without complaining, this person went in and mopped and took out the trash and cleaned up things, and their role was not that at all. Actually, if you want to kind of look at it in a hierarchy thing, that role of what they were doing is way, way beneath. In a hierarchy thing, it's way down here. Okay? In terms of pay, this person would be making, that profession would be making $85,000, $90,000 a year. This person who's supposed to be cleaning and taking the trash out and doing the things that nobody really sees, maybe making $30,000 a year. But that person took it upon themselves to do it without someone asking them to do, without being tasked, but saw the need and did it. Because I serve at the pleasure of Jesus Christ our Lord. And I got to be honest with you, I completely got hit hard. Because I'm going, wow, such humility, such a posture of I serve at the pleasure of Jesus Christ our Lord. How many of us go around the house, in the house, when we go and, you know, walking around and you see, okay, that needs to be picked up, that needs to be washed, that needs to be vacuumed. I mean, as a husband, I sometimes do that, okay? Confession time, right? You know, oh, Tamar's not doing that, right? Or I serve at the pleasure of Jesus Christ, our Lord, to lead with the example. Okay. And I'm not giving you an example so you can come and say good job on that, but I'm trying to highlight to us that we have an ability to serve. We've been given a purpose. Our attention, our focus should be to serve and to show Jesus, because you know why? The reward is in his hand and it waits for you. I serve at the pleasure of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Would you stand with me? As you leave this place, I want you to remember. I want you to remember, what's my attitude like when I serve? I want you to remember the question, when I serve, do people see Jesus? Are we using our abilities to lift, to encourage, to build up the community? And the last A, how much is my attention on everything but Jesus? How much of my attention is on everything but Jesus? Is your attention in helping people be restored to Jesus, to come back to Jesus? I serve at the pleasure of Jesus Christ our Lord. Will your epitaph say, if you don't know what an epitaph is, it's a tombstone, the inscription on the tombstone. Sorry to be morbid, but will your epitaph say, I served at the pleasure of Jesus Christ, our Lord? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for each person in this room. Thank you for their patience. Father, I pray that you keep reminding them that their reward is in heaven. Father, keep reminding them that they are going to be useful, that you are going to launch them from your quiver whenever you seem fit, and that they are a sharpened arrow ready to be used as a tool. And Father, I pray that our focus, that we leave this place, is so that people see Jesus, see you, Father. So thank you. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen.